morning? Go to James chapter 3. Wow. Just feels like the air got sucked out of this sanctuary. I'm like, so it looks like if I'm a fish out of water right now, that's why. That was phenomenal. That was amazing today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you guys again. Wow, what a blessing. Amen. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Let's start this thing off. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. There's that yield word from last week. Amen? Willing to slow down and get the mind of God on a situation. Amen? Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. That's a tough one, isn't it? And without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I have a powerful on-time message from the Holy Spirit. I got it on Friday as I was walking around and praying. Many times my messages come when I'm walking and praying in the Spirit here. And this message flashed in my spirit like lightning. That's how quick it came. So I know it's from the Holy Ghost. This isn't something that I was like, oh, Lord, it's Friday, I need a message, you know, and you're looking through the concordance, you're looking through topical Bibles. Lord, give me some... No. This is revelation from the Holy Spirit today. This is an on-time word. Amen? Amen? The title of this message is simply this: attitude determines your altitude. Attitude determines your altitude. Now, attitude is defined as this: as a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Typically, one that is reflected in a person's behavior. All right? Another definition of attitude is a mental state, or you could say it this way, a state of mind. All right? Now, altitude is defined as this: a height above an object or point related, here's my pilot talk, to sea level or ground level. All right? So it's the height of something. See, there is an instrument in my airplane that's called an attitude indicator. Say attitude indicator. And it tells me how high, how many degrees my nose of the airplane is pointing up or how low it's pointing down. And the interesting thing is this about that. It can't be pointing up and it can't be pointing down at the same time. Oh, you know where I'm going. If the attitude of the airplane is nose up in cruise, it will climb and gain altitude. If the attitude of the airplane is nose down, it's going to lose altitude. And our spiritual attitude indicator are our emotions, spoken words, and our actions. We have a built-in attitude indicator in us. Amen? So what is your attitude? What is your mindset in life? Is it eyes up or eyes down? When I refer to altitude in this message, I'm connecting it to your spiritual life as a Christian. Is your spiritual walk with God climbing or descending? You're doing one or the other, and they can't be both at the same time. It's one or the other. You're either climbing spiritually with God or you're descending and backsliding away from Him. Amen? I'm referring to the ground, to either the ground level of being earthly minded or a carnal Christian, or being a heavenly minded or a spiritual Christian. Amen? James 3:15 said something very interesting. It made a distinction between wisdom and attitudes that are from above and wisdom and attitudes that are that originate on a lower, on an earthly, on a sensual, and it goes on to say, a demonic or devilish plane. What wisdom are you walking in? Think about this. Are you kind of picking up where I'm going with this right here? I'm also referring to going higher in general in life by allowing God to promote you, to climb you up that ladder of favor, to climb you up that ladder of success and open doors of opportunity to you. How many of you know God desires to bless you? God desires you to be successful in this life too. Amen? He desires to make you a blessing so you can bless other people. Now, you need to know this. A positive attitude will get you places and open opportunities, come on, that wouldn't have opened without that active in your life. I will tell you right now, I have had jobs and opportunities open up to me in my life because I maintained a positive attitude. In fact, out of all the employers I've worked for, the one thing that has been the common thread is, James, we love your attitude. And I have been promoted, and I was even given place to fly a jet because my attitude was positive. And they passed other people by who maybe had other the better qualifications. But because I had a good attitude, come on, somebody. Why? Because your attitude determines your altitude in life. Your positive, faith-filled attitude will cause you, get this now, you got to catch this, will cause you to soar above obstacles that are in your way. Amen? On the other hand, many people that do not have doors open to them is because they are living in a negative attitude. Listen to this. A negative attitude is an emotional, spiritual cancer. I said it's an emotional, spiritual cancer. It eats away and kills everything good in your life. We need to shift that today. Amen? It causes those individuals to miss out on opportunities, and it aborts current opportunities that the Lord would have opened up for you. See, those individuals, they're in a nose-down attitude that causes them. Are you ready? To collide with obstacles. We have in aviation, an MSA, when you look at a chart, the minimum safe altitude. And it's for a specific region. And it tells you this is the lowest you can fly and have a guaranteed 1,000 foot of altitude from hitting any obstacle. We got to have this MSA in our Christian life. Amen? There's an MSA in the Christian life, I said. The only people that want to be around negative and emotionally crusty people are other negative and emotionally crusty people. Crusty. Yes, crusty. I kind of like that. When I was writing that, I was like, that is good, isn't it? Yes, that will drive the point home. That negative attitude repels and pushes away, listen to me, the right people from coming into your life. The other beings that you are inviting into your life are demonic spirits and the kingdom of darkness. Why? Because negativity is the language of the kingdom of darkness. Negative words are praise and worship to the enemy, to the devil. It's very simple. I don't know, but God's pretty positive. Amen. In fact, we have the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news. It's good news. Amen. So that is why those that are constantly living in a state of negativity have problems and battles all the time. They are attracting evil. Listen to me. They are literally a magnet for it. It will attract what, listen, oh, come on, somebody. What you are giving off, that's what you're attracting in your life. Negativity is a fruit of doubt and unbelief connected to the Word of God. I'm not talking to unbelievers today. I'm talking to Christians. Are you listening? Now, I want to go through some verses and passages in the Word of God that will give us some more clarity on this topic, and it will help us to shift our attitudes to a positive, come on, so we can gain some altitude in the Spirit. Go to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. It's time to gain some altitude. There's some Christians that are going along, living a life, and the Holy Spirit's there, just like you see on those airplane videos where there's a crash going on or something. It's saying, pull up, pull up, pull up, pull up, pull. It's the most annoying thing ever. But guess what? It's the sweetest thing when it's going to prevent you from crashing and dying. We want all the systems of the Holy Ghost working on the inside. Amen? Hebrews 11:1. And it says this very simply. You all know it probably. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Very simple, isn't it? Now, you need to know this. It is impossible to have faith and have a negative attitude at the same time. That's the point the Holy Ghost wanted me to get across to you on that. All right? Just like an airplane can't climb and descend at the same time. It's impossible to have faith and negative at the same time. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. So just know, if you're a negative person today, faith is not operating in your life. Now here's why. Why? Because it said this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Underline hoped. Hope is in the equation for faith, is it not? Am I lying? It's right there, right? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hope here is not your worldly hope. It's a confident expectation. Negativity is not confident. Are you following me? In fact, it always expects the worst case scenario, right? But hope expects something. Hope is positive. Amen? So you must understand this. Ready? Don't miss this now. I said it before, but I want to drive it home again, lest we forgot. You are believing for something all the time. You are always believing for something. Anxiety, fear, worry, and negativity are always believing for the worst case scenario all the time. Not necessarily because you want it, but you're in that negative mindset. Are you following me? You're believing for something all the time, whether good or bad, whether positive or negative. But faith, however, means that you are believing in the Word of God, the promises that are contained in the Word of God. So you could say it this way. The standard for faith, then, is the Word of God. When you use the word faith, it's in connection to the Word of God. Whether you have faith or not, it's in connection to the promises in the Word. Are you following me? And anything that's opposite of the Word of God that you're believing is not faith. It's either doubt or unbelief, right? So, I just want you to know. So, the standard for faith, when you're talking about faith spiritually, it's always in connection, believing the Word of God, okay? You following me? So you need to understand that truth, because not believing in the Word of God doesn't mean that you're not believing in anything. See, even an atheist who doesn't believe in God, guess what? They're believing something. They believe something, just not in God. Right? You're always believing something. That's why we got to always check. We always got to check our belief system on the inside. Is it aligned with the Word of God, or am I believing something that's outside of the Word of God? Am I drawing things in that are not the will of God because of my negativity in my life? So that's why you're attracting those negative things and situations. You are believing for those things. Whether you want to believe that or not, you are in what your attitude is showing. Amen? And that is why the enemy fight so hard to influence your thought life and hinder you from praying, hindering you from filling yourself with the Word of God, filling yourself with the light, filling yourself with positive things. And that's only going to come from the promises in the Word of God. Are you with me? Now listen to this. Faith is substance and evidence. I like that. I love teaching on faith. I went to Rhema, Kenneth E. Hagin, right? The faith school, right? The big faith logo, right on there. Faith is substance and evidence. Say substance and evidence. We walk by faith and not by sight. So faith must be active when you see nothing changing around you in the natural realm. Are you following me? Listen to this. That substance and evidence is what is happening on the inside of you, connected to the promises of God, not what's going on around you. If you're only going to base it on what's going on around you, it's going to wreck your faith. You're going to be discouraged, aren't you? So that substance of things hoped for, of things not seen, is not with your natural eyes. It must be seen. Now, you got to catch this. Some things are taught, some things are caught. You got to catch this. Ready? You must be able to see those things and feel those things on the inside in your spirit. Because faith is spiritual, totally opposite of what you see in the natural realm. Amen? Now, so you must be able to see it and feel it on the inside, and that must, here, this is where you got to get this, that must be enough for you to shift your attitude from negative to positive. Because true faith satisfies you. True faith is satisfied by what God said. Are you following me? Now, the key to faith is also this. You got to get this. Many times we separate, when we're talking about faith and receiving something from God, we separate the seeing it and feeling it on the inside from the I don't see it or have it in the natural realm yet. Here's what the Holy Ghost is saying. That thought must be eliminated from your thought life, because the enemy will use that as a separation, that separation between the two, to discourage you. There must not be a distinction between what you see and hear and what you're experiencing on the outside. They must be joined together. Are you following me? Flesh will always focus on the I don't see it in the natural realm yet. But faith has nothing to do with the flesh. Because faith carries you through to the receiving before you see it, before you have it in the natural realm. So in your mind or thought life, listen to me, there cannot be a difference or a distinction between seeing it and feeling it in your spirit, in your imagination, and receiving it with your spiritual eyes from your senses in the natural realm. Oh, come on, somebody. This is faith. This is faith. You got to see it. You got to feel it on the inside. Amen? So, because the Word of God tells us that faith believes, you receive that thing before you see it, touch it, and experience it with your natural senses. So then it must be talking about receiving it with your spiritual senses. That's why the imagination is so important. Amen? Go with me to Mark 11. Mark 11. Don't make the distinction. Stop making the distinction between the inside and the outside of the natural realm. This is where Christians are getting tripped up. This is where they abort the manifestation or the transfer into the natural realm. You getting it? I told you, some things are taught, some things are caught. You got to catch it in the spirit. Mark 11, but it takes having a spiritual mindset. You see, someone just heard that whole soliloquy right there and shut it out because they're in a carnal mindset. Are you following me? Because they have to have something. They have to have something in the natural realm. Show me something before I turn positive. I need to see something. God says, sorry. To receive, you got to believe before you receive. Amen? Mark 11. 20 through 24, very popular. I love this. we're going to go over this and a lot of times until Jesus comes back. So just grin and bear it. Here we go. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, catch it now. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, it means in the original. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Are you following me? Spiritual. But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Now, woo, it's hot up in here. Listen to this. Now listen. Good thing the deodorant works this morning. Good thing I'm away from you guys right now. Now listen. I want you to notice, get to catch this. I want you to notice the mountain that is being spoken to represents a negative situation. You all agree with that? But listen to this. This is what the Holy Ghost showed me. It takes a Christian with a positive attitude and positive spoken words to move it and shift the atmosphere. Their muscle, if there's a negative situation, you need to come against it in a positive direction. Are you following me? A negative's not going to change a negative. Hello? You got to come to it in a positive mindset. You must be, come on, the atmosphere shifter. No one else is going to do it for you on the inside. You must be the atmosphere shifter on that situation that's coming against you. Amen? There cannot be any unbelief or doubt present. Listen, at the point of releasing those spoken words at that mountain or negative situation, you must be convinced of what you are speaking, listen, will come to pass. You must be, the devil's not your worst enemy. We are our worst enemy. We're not trying to convince the devil. Guess what? We're trying to convince ourselves. Because in our life, we've told so many lies. We don't even believe ourselves. Are you following me? Think about it. Your faith is a reflection on your picture of your own integrity, of your words. Oh, my. Oh, my. I'm about ready to have my own altar call right now. Come on, somebody. Let's go. Come on. That wasn't even in my notes. That was revelation from the Holy Ghost. We are trying to convince ourselves. Just let that soak in for a moment here where I find out where I left off. Now, I want you to notice it says, so you must believe that those things which you are speaking will be done when you speak them, at the point that you release them, right? And verse 24 says, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe. At the point of you asking, you must believe that you receive them and you will have them, right? So both of these verses then are telling us, listen to this, both of these verses in Mark 11 are telling us that receiving takes place before you see any change in the natural realm. So then it must be a spiritual receiving on the inside. Are you getting it? You've got to see it on the inside, in your spirit. You've got to see it. Otherwise known as the screen of your imagination. The imagination is so powerful. Why do you think the devil's always trying to gain real estate in your imagination? Because he's trying to mess with that faith process. He's trying to abort that transfer into the natural realm. Amen? Now, Jesus cursed the fig tree and there was no immediate manifestation that could be seen outwardly. But the next day, they saw it withered away. Amen? So my point is this. You must believe and know Your words are effective the moment they're released. You don't think that Jesus knew what he wanted when he cursed that fig tree? He knew it, and he seen it on the inside, and he spoke to it. And get this, he walked away confidently, seeing that fig tree full of life. He didn't walk away saying, oh, darn, I guess it didn't work. We got to learn a lesson from Jesus himself here. Amen? I don't care what the negative situation is. If you believe what you're speaking into that situation, you're coming in with a positive, right? And you come against that negative. Something is going to shift if you hold on to that confidence. Oh, you got to hold on to that confidence. Amen? Something is shifting at the root of that problem when you speak. I want to say something here. Ready for this? Everything has a spiritual root. Everything has a spiritual root. Listen, faith maintains a positive attitude and it increases your altitude. Ready? To a heavenly level. A level, oh, this is what the Holy Ghost said. A level where miracles, signs, and wonders are not only possible, but they're the normal. They're the normal. How many want the miracles, signs, and wonders, the power of God, to be the normal in this place and in your life? Come on, listen. A positive, faith-filled attitude and obedience attracts the manifest presence of God, the glory of God in your life. And miracles, signs, and wonders are a supernatural byproduct of a heavenly atmosphere. See, every time you pray, every time you make a faith declaration, wherever you're at, your house, your car, every time you're in faith, you're doing something, you're lifting your hands and praising God, you're praising him, where you're playing music, you're opening a portal for the glory of God in that place. You're opening, you're rending, ripping the heavens open and say, Holy Ghost, have your way in this place. So many people get hung up and discouraged when they don't see the change in the natural realm. Let me say it again. It aborts the entire faith process. It disrupts the process. You must maintain a heavenly or a spiritual mindset and not give place to the earthly or carnal mindset. Are you getting this? Listen to this. A heavenly or spiritual mindset will allow you to maintain a positive attitude in the transfer process between the spirit realm and the natural realm. Now, remember I told you, Ephesians 3 talks about, it says that, Ephesians 1:3, I believe, that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the spirit. All the blessings of through the gospel are, number one, spiritual. And they must be transferred into the natural. All right? And spoken words are spiritual. Spoken words, I don't know if you know this or not, but they are a spiritual force. There is something happening. Amen? Ooh, in fact, when you release your words, they just don't, they're going out. They're going out. They're staying out there. Are you following me? That's why renunciation is so important. Oh, come on, somebody. What are you doing? You're breaking the power of the curse that you spoke. There must be a breaking of it or it stays active. Our thoughts must be higher than the earthly natural realm. The Word of God tells us in Colossians 3, it says, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. So it clearly distinguishes the earthly realm from the heavenly realm. Amen? Now, so through the born-again experience, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to be, according to 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4, that we are able to be partakers of the divine nature. Now, I'm not saying we're gods, but we're living a lot lower than what God intends for his people. It says we can be partakers of the divine nature through Christ. Amen? So we need to set our mind on things above. Negativity, really, think about this. Negativity should have no place to land in a Christian's life. And if it does, you created it yourself. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen to this. Walking in the Spirit always maintains a positive attitude. Go to Galatians 5 as I continue down the road here. Galatians 5. I said walking in the Spirit always maintains a positive attitude, which will gain you altitude in the Spirit. Galatians 5. And I want to look at 13 through 16 here to start off with. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, catch this, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, so we have been called, the Word of God says, that we have been called to liberty as Christians. Amen? You agree with that? We don't have to live in bondage anymore, okay? And that includes negativity. Now, we are called to walk in love, which is positive, right? Would you agree love is positive? Okay, hate is the opposite of love. As we learned on Wednesday through John Bevere's teaching, that hate is the absence of the God kind of love. Absence of the agape love. Amen? So walking in and living a life of love will cause your faith to work and will cause you to be led by the Holy Spirit. No love, no favor of God over your life. Because faith will not work without love being active. If your love walk is inactive, kiss your faith walk goodbye. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 real quick. Let's just remind ourselves, shall we, of what love is. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Don't you love when your wife has to bail you out reading? Thanks. Keep following, too, because I might need it again. Now listen. No shame in my game. Now here, listen to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity or sin, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, there it is, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So the agape or God kind of love that we are to walk in, you can see right there, every part of love is positive. Amen? You cannot be a negative person and really truly walk in love the way God intends you to do it. It is a positive mindset that transcends the earthly carnal realm, right? Why? The world says, oh, they did this to me, so I'm going to do this to them. God says, no, go feed your enemy. No, go do something nice for them. Are you getting it? It's positive. All right? So we are commanded to walk in love. Means that we are commanded to live our life as Christians with a positive attitude, a positive mindset toward God and people, and guess what? And toward ourselves. Remember, we're trying to convince ourselves about this faith thing. Are you getting it? See, we must flush every bit of negativity toward ourselves, toward other people, and toward God and His Word. We need to flush it away out of our life. Now, going back to Galatians 5, go there with me. Galatians 5, verse 14, commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Did you catch that? Okay, now, In other words, treat people the way that you would want them to treat you. And this is what the Holy Ghost said. Are you ready? Regardless of how they actually treat you. Regardless of how they actually treat you. So the measuring stick then is this. How would I want someone to treat me? Oh, that's my measuring stick. Are you getting it? Not my fleshly emotions that want to just kick me right out of the game. You getting it? But how would we want to be treated? Verse 15 goes on to say something very interesting that you'll just walk on by it if you're not careful. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware. I don't know about you, but when the Bible says beware, we better listen. Take notes. It says, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. Isn't that what the devil wants? Isn't that exactly the game plan of the enemy? Go ahead, devour each other. Go ahead, let those fleshly emotions flare up. Come on, somebody. Amen? And the devil's just sitting back with his arms crossed, legs crossed, and he's laughing. The Holy Spirit is warning us that if we get stuck, listen to me now, in a pattern of negative attitudes and mindsets, you will be consumed. In other words, well, let's take it deeper. It means at that point, you are no longer profitable to be used by the Holy Ghost. You are literally condemning yourself. Now, I'm not talking about you're going to hell. The word condemned means no longer good for use. If a building's condemned, it puts a sign on it that says, don't go in. This thing's falling apart. Well, if we're biting each other, we're not walking in love, the Holy Ghost slaps a sign on us and says, I can't use them right now. I can't use that person right now. Are you getting it? We are no longer profitable to be used by the Holy Spirit. We're shutting him out. We're following our own will, our own plan, and not the Holy Ghost's plan. Our interest at that point is no longer in the kingdom of God, in the interest of other people. You will be devoured, beat up, or brought to nothing in your life. And I'll tell you, that's a miserable place to be. Amen? You will literally, you could say it this way, you will literally disqualify yourself from the blessings in the kingdom of God. Listen, and the remedy for that condition, according to the next verse, is to walk in the Spirit. Listen, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust. You know what lust is? Strong desires. Yeah, you hear the word lust and you're always just connecting it just to sex. No. Lust is just simply a very strong, overpowering desire. That's it. Are you getting it? So we need to walk in the Spirit. That's the remedy for this thing. Walking in the Spirit. Here's why. The Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, why? If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I said, there's something to that. The Holy Spirit wants me to get something more to that. I said, Holy Spirit, why is that? He said, because you'll be so filled with peace and joy in your life, you won't want to go back to the pig pen. That's why. That's why you won't do it. Because your desires, you're going to experience the goodness of God in your life like never before. And you're going to look back and say, why did I ever give in to these fleshly desires? It's so much better on the other side. Come on. He said that so clear to me. You know, when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're walking in obedience to God, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like the peace and the joy. Whatever's happening, everything can crumble around you. But boy, you're walking in the peace of God. Because why? Why? Because you know you're right between you and Him. So we are called as Christians to rise up above the mess of the flesh, of negativity. We are called to live on a higher heavenly mindset. Now, So it's time for Christians to take off and soar with our God. Amen? It's time for us to walk in love toward each other, right? It's time to take. You could say it this way. I like saying it this way. Guess what? There's many roads we can take. You found that out in life, right? There's many roads. But we need to take the higher road. It's called in the Word of God the highway, come on, of holiness. The highway of holiness. It's time to take the higher road than this evil world system and the children of the devil that are on a one-way road to hell without Jesus Christ right now. We should have nothing in common with a person that's not born again. That's a child of the devil right now. We Christians, we should have nothing in common with them. We are different. We're called to live on a higher plane. Amen? So walking in the Spirit means that you're being led. Number one, I'm going to tie it into two things. I said it before, I want to say it again. It means being led by your born-again spirit. The part of you that's leaning toward God, that desires to please Him. And then also, on the other hand, it means that you're led by the Holy Spirit. But here's where it ties it together. You ready? He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So walking in the Spirit, sure, it's your born-again spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. Sure it is. Because he that's joined or she that's joined to the Lord or in connection with, is one spirit. What would Jesus do? Come on. We really don't have to ask that. We know. We know what he would do. We're just trying to look for an excuse to let our flesh run. Right? So it's time to take that higher road. Now, so it literally means this, walking in the Spirit. Literally, if you look this up in the original, are you ready for this? This made it really clear to me, and I hope it helps you. Are you ready? It literally means to walk in line with or to follow the path that God has laid out for his children in his word. It's walking the line. Are you following me? It's walking the line. And friends, it's a tightrope. It's a narrow way, as the Bible says. Are you following me? Look at Galatians 5, 16 through 26 here. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. All right? If you abide by the speed limit, you're not under the law. You get it? Don't do anything stupid and you're not under the law. Amen. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication. It says they're evident, right? We know it. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. Oh, that's not the only list? That's not the full list? Nope, it says and the like. Okay, this is only a partial list, all right? Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The key word is practice. Are you getting it? Don't practice those things, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith. Don't you even feel a shift in the atmosphere when we shift to the fruit of the Spirit? Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited or prideful, provoking one another, envying one another. I want you to notice that the works of the flesh are negative. You get that? They are negative desires in your mind that lead to negative actions. Okay? Your actions come from what you're meditating on, what you're thinking on, right? The fruit of the Spirit is positive. Positive attitudes and desires that lead to positive actions. I found it interesting. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say fruits. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're not. Are you getting it? Well, you know, I'm doing this and this, but I have this. You take out one thing out of the fruit of the Spirit and you prop that up and with pride. I'm doing this. God says, no, no, no. It's fruit, not fruits. Do you ever see that before? Verse 24 says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And guess what? This all takes place in your mind. It's a mind shift. Say mind shift. To crucify the flesh or fleshly desires means to not give place to them. Don't feed them in your thought life. Remember, don't ever forget this. Whatever you feed becomes stronger. Whatever you feed becomes stronger. Verse 25 says, you got to get this. You got to get this. I just got to slow it down real quick here. You got to get this. Have you ever noticed this verse? Verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It separates them. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. You want to know why? Living in the Spirit means this, you're born again. Walking in the Spirit means this, you're walking in obedience. It's possible to be born again and not walk in obedience to the Word. Are you getting it? He says, if you're born again, why would you go halfway? Give God your all. Amen. Just jump in and be obedient in every area of your life. Amen. Are you getting it? Yeah. Now, so it reveals then it's possible to be born again, but not walk in obedience. All right? And guess what that's called? That's called being a carnal Christian or a backslidden Christian. Or a Christian with a nose-down attitude heading for trouble. All right? So the key then out of that, living in the Spirit, sure, you can get born again. You can be born again. But you know what the tougher part is? The walk. Love your neighbor, what? Right? But they did that. Oh, they did this, right? So that is why it's so important to be careful what you are filling your mind with through your eye gates and through your ear gates and what words you're speaking. And I connect this, your ear gates with what you're speaking. Because what you're speaking, guess what it does? It doesn't just go out. It goes, whoop. Remember, the whole faith thing, we're trying to convince ourselves. That's why David said, I encourage myself in the Lord. Why? Because David had to convince himself. God wasn't the problem. David was. Because David's focus was on the natural realm and all the negative things happening. He said, I got to encourage myself in the Lord. Are you getting that revelation? It's about convincing yourself. God's word is true. Get the God's word is true whether you believe it or not. God's word will always be true whether you believe it in your life or not. But is it true to you on the inside? I hope I'm sparking some thought and meditation in your heart this morning. Amen? So don't ever forget this. Garbage in, garbage out. And that's sowing and reaping. What the Word of God gives us many warnings about this and instructions of how to feed our spirit, how to feed our soul, and how they operate. I like that. That's an awesome topic to me. The tripart of man. Body, soul, or soul, body, or soul, spirit, and body, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Let's go first, because you're a spiritual being, okay? That has a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in an earth suit, physical body. All right. So the Word of God, I love it because it's the operator's manual. It's the operator's manual. Look at Philippians chapter 4. I'm getting close here. Just are you getting anything out of this? All right. This is a really important message today. All right. So Philippians 4 4 through 8. We got to keep reminding ourselves. You can never hear the word of God too much. Oh, Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Man, I heard that so many times. Well, why aren't you living it then? Are you getting it? Come on, somebody. Look at this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. Do you notice it's given us guidelines? Whatever fits within those guidelines, it's safe to meditate on. Good report. If there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I love that. It's like, here's your boundaries, guys. Stay within them. If it fits within that, meditate on it, because it's going to bless you and help you. Now, the first thing I want you to see in verse 4 is this. I want to point out that it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Did you catch that there? Listen, the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul emphasize that point because he knew it would be so easy to have the wrong focus on this sinful earth and focus on the negative. Okay? The temptation would be to fall into negativity. But this, listen, this is not a suggestion. It's a command. Okay? It's a command to stay in a positive mindset mode of rejoicing and thankfulness. A positive attitude, listen to this, a positive attitude of thankfulness in your life will keep you humble. It'll keep you teachable and prevent you from taking God and His blessings for granted in your life. It keeps you connected. I like to say it this way. You ready for this? Having a thankful heart, it keeps you connected to spiritual reality. Let's just let that soak in. Hold on. Having a thankful heart keeps you connected to spiritual reality. Because there's a reality that's going on in the natural realm, but there's spiritual reality. And spiritual reality trumps natural reality. Is anybody hearing me today? I'm saying like the Apostle Paul, can I speak unto you as spiritual today? Can I? Right? I feel like I'm a philosopher or something, right? I need a hat with a feather through it or whatever it is. But it keeps you connected to spiritual reality. And it will prevent you from falling into fleshly deception. An attitude of thankfulness will keep your spiritual altitude high. Rejoicing in the, listen to this, it gave three things that will guard your mind. Did you catch that? Okay, let me remind you then. Rejoicing in the Lord, prayer, and thanksgiving are keys to guarding your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Those three things it lists. And here's what the Holy Ghost said. He said, if one of those things are lacking, the house of cards begins to crumble because your mind at that point is not protected. Those three walls must be active to guard your heart and your mind. When your mind is not protected, that is when the enemy can begin to influence your thought life and you begin to give into those negative attitudes and emotions, okay? In verse 8, the Word of God gives a list of guidelines of positive things to meditate on. Now, listen to this. I want to break it down like this. Are you ready? I'm going to go fast, but you can watch the video later. Listen to this. God is revealing to us that what we meditate on will determine our attitude or mindset, which determines our spiritual altitude, which determines our spoken words and actions, come on, which determines the quality and effectiveness of our life on earth, which will determine our role and position in eternal life to come. Do you see that flow chart? Everything we do on this earth in this life right now is connected to our eternal life with God. Oh, you were faithful? Here, I'm going to set you over a city of blah, blah, blah in the life to come. Are you getting it? So you got to understand that your actions, your words right now will have an impact on your eternity. See, God knew that negative attitudes would be so tempting to fall into in a secular evil world system. Listen to this. Someone needs to hear this today. That he even had to remind us that we are working for him and not that grumpy boss. Real quick, go to Colossians 3. Let me encourage someone today, because someone might be having a hard time dealing with someone at work or whatever, right? Not anyone here at Living Waters Chapel, but, right? But look, Colossians 3, 22 through 25. Okay, look at this. It says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." I'm on the last page, so bear with me here. Look at this. "Everything you do on this earth should be viewed as doing it unto the Lord with pure intentions and pure motives." Are you getting it? Everything should be done, the Word of God says, with a sincerity of heart. Right? How easy is it to just kind of slack off when your boss is a jerk and just to slack off and not do your job? Well, this is where you got to shift your mindset that what you are doing, the Lord's watching. Amen. And the Lord expects you to do a good job and fulfill your purpose, whatever it is. Amen? If you will make that shift in your mindset on your job, you will begin to see breakthrough like never before. Why? Because you're shifting from that negative to positive attitude, that nose-up attitude on a climb. You know, work wouldn't be as much of a burden thinking about your grumpy boss if you were sitting there with your focus on the Lord. Amen? Many people think serving the Lord is in a position in a local church only. That's just a real small part of it. The amount of time you spend in the church is nothing compared to the time you spend outside of these four walls. I want to end my message with just two verses. Go to Psalm 121 and I'm done. Psalm 121. We got to shift to that positive mindset. We have to do it or you're going to live, listen to me, a miserable and defeated life on this earth. And I don't want any of you to live that kind of life. Amen? Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. We're on final approach here. Ready? "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." If you are struggling with a negative mindset in your life today, it's time to lift up your eyes. It's time to shift your focus on the Lord. It's time to shift your focus on His written word, on His promises. Your focus is what is setting the tone and creating the atmosphere in your life. Your focus determines your attitude, high or low. Church, we must maintain a heavenly mindset. Amen? A positive attitude and love in everything we do. And the only way, I want to remind you, the only way we're going to stay profitable, the only way we're going to stay useful in the kingdom of God is to set our mind on things above and not on the earth. And I don't ever forget, as you leave this building today, as you tune out today online, your attitude determines your altitude. Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. Now, maybe there's someone in here. Oh, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. Maybe there's someone in here, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never made Him Lord of your life, you need to come down and you need to pray with one of the prayer team members today. I want to encourage you to do that. Sure, you can do it in your seat, but there's something special about having someone pray with you and telling them what you're doing. Amen? Now, maybe there's someone in here, you're in a backslidden condition. You're in a backslidden condition. Listen, you're in a nosedive position, and you're heading toward that mountain. You're heading toward that obstacle. You're not going to clear it. You're lower than the MDA, the minimum descent altitude. If you're a Christian in this place and you're backslidden, you've been falling into negativity, I want you right now, just come on down and pray with one of the prayer team members. Say, today I want to make it right. I confess that negativity is sin. Pastor James was right. We should not, a Christian should not live a negative life, have a negative attitude. After everything Jesus has done for us, after everything that our Heavenly Father has done for us, amen? Maybe there's someone in here, you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, you never prayed in tongues, you want to learn more about that, come down, pray with one of the members today. Maybe you're in this place, you need a physical healing, you need an emotional healing, you need prayer for someone, something for yourself, any other categories, listen, just come down. That's what we're here for today, to minister to you, amen? We're not here to play church, we're here to be the church, amen? So I want you to come down. And I am absolutely heartbroken about Stu. He was a great man, and he will be greatly missed. He served a lot here at Living Waters Chapel, him and Sherry. And so we'll let you know about his celebration of life. We're gonna honor his life. Amen. He's not the one with the problem today. He's with the Lord. Amen. It's all of us who remain. All right, everyone. Thank you so much, visitors. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you all. We're going to be at the end. Team, if you want, worship team, if you want to play a song or two, go right ahead. But we'll meet you all in the back and shake some hands. God bless you all.